Dan Riccio and Randeep Janda, now joined by Sportsnet Hockey Insider Chris Johnston. You see him on Saturday Night Headlines. CJ, how you doing? Did you have a Merry Christmas?
I did. It went by a little bit quickly, as the holidays tend to do, but ate lots, had a few days with my feet up, and ready to get back at it.
It's been quite the week here in Vancouver. We went from firing Travis Green to now everybody's rejoicing how good the Canucks are during this five-game win streak. The roller coaster, it's a fun one here in Vancouver. But what do you see with this streaking Canucks team right now?
Well, it's fun to check in with you guys once a week because I get a little taste of the highs and lows that way. I'm not riding it every day with you guys. But, it was big to win back-to-back. And I think especially to go into Calgary yesterday and get a win there. And what I see, honestly, if I'm looking from, a little further away, is that this thing is going to be a crazy roller coaster, not just for the Canucks, but for the Flames, potentially the Oilers, even the Coyotes and the Golden Knights. I mean, it's just not much separation between the teams. I think each of the teams is capable of going on good runs, but then, of course, there's some bad runs built into there. And amazingly, we still have half a season to play, and all the teams are very much in the mix for the playoffs. But, I wouldn't want to have to bet my house on, which three out of that group or what have you are going to end up playing playoff games in April, because I just think that the margins are very small and there's going to be lots of ups and downs, and the Canucks are on a good up right now.
Yeah, a classic example is Calgary. Last night's game, they completely laid an egg after on Friday night, taking the Edmonton Oilers to the cleaners. The Pacific Division is a bit wonky that way. One of the teams that's kind of in that spot now, I would say because of Darcy Kuemper getting injured, is Arizona. And a lot of people were saying this team has staying power, and now with Taylor Hall, they can be locked into that top two. What are your thoughts on that? They've kind of hit that rough patch all as well.
Well, it's not happened immediately. And not only are they not scoring at a better rate since Taylor Hall was acquired, they've allowed more goals. And I'm not sure how much we want to connect the two dots. I mean, it's still only a small handful of games. But, I still have to believe that they're in a better position than they were before the trade. But, it hasn't manifested itself. And you're right, losing a goaltender like Kuemper, someone who was named to the All-Star team today and was very deserving of that honor, probably has as much to do with where they're at as anything, but they're still not a lock to be in. I mean, they've got some good underlying numbers. I think that, they are a pretty quality team, but they struggle to score goals. And so you would think, and I certainly thought that bringing in Taylor Hall will help change that, will put them in a better position. But, I think that the honest truth, and it's not a sexy hot take, is that the margins for all these teams is not really that great. I don't think any of them are terrible. I don't think any of them are great. And obviously there'll be stretches of schedule within the season where they look great or they look terrible. But I honestly think we're dealing with a pretty big mushy middle at this point. And, injuries, some puck luck will factor into what happens. And obviously whichever teams can maybe make some additions or at least reach another level in the second half of the year than they have now is probably going to be the difference between making the playoffs and not.
Chris Johnston, our guest. It's beyond headlines. You have it up at sportsnet.ca right now. You talk about some of the trade targets that could be out there. And we've heard the names, especially of those that are likely to be free agents in our rental types, Chris Kreider, Tyler Toffoli. I don't feel like the Canucks are in that type of a mindset where if they're going to add the top six forward they covet, I don't know if a rental makes sense for where they're at in their development. How tough is it to pry away guys that are controllable in today's climate, CJ?
Well, I think where the tough comes in is you have 11 teams right now in the long-term injury provision, which has never happened in the history of the salary cap. And what that means is that there's literally 11 teams that have almost zero wiggle room at all to make deals. I'm simplifying the position, but, I think that it's tighter than ever when you're talking about hockey trades, which is what I think you're alluding to here, is the idea of bringing in a player that can be a member of the Canucks, not just for the rest of the season, but in the future, perhaps beyond this year already. So you, you have some certainty in terms of what that player is owed. And you know, based on where Vancouver is, you know, I think that kind of move would have to be coupled with, you know, shedding salary one way or another to make it all work. And I just think that those type of trades are they're never easy. And frankly, I don't think we've seen enough. I think this sport would be better if we saw more of those kind of deals made. But, you know, I think it's harder than ever now to make that kind of trade just because so many teams are in strange cap positions. You know, even teams like Arizona, who had, you know, not obviously known as a big spender, but they had New Jersey have to eat salary on Taylor Hall to make that whole deal work that they made with the Devils there just before the holiday break. And so, you know, I'm not going to say it's impossible because it certainly isn't, but we're not going to see very many of those types of deals. And you know, I think that's just the reality of the marketplace, is that that's going to be tough. And you know, at the same time, you know, I don't know that a lot of GMs are all that high on the idea of rentals as it is. I think that it's shown to be a time of year when you pay a premium for a player, this run up to the trade deadline. And, you know, obviously there's some appeal because generally you're just adding to a good team when you're, you know, adding a rental player. But, you know, quite often those guys they don't find the right fit. They're not productive enough. Maybe they get injured and you only have them for such a small window. And when teams look back afterwards, they just don't think that the receipt is worth what they got. And so, I don't want to get too deep into forecasting just yet, but my feeling honestly is that this is going to be a relatively quiet trade period before this trade deadline, because there aren't a lot of big name rentals or big ticket rentals. And you know, I do think so many teams are in cap trouble at the moment, or at least cap handcuffed. And so, you know, the truth is the Canucks might not end up being all that active as it is. I'm sure they'll be active in terms of making calls and trying to find the fits, but you know, right now it doesn't feel as though the marketplace is lining up to see a lot of action here in the next 8 weeks.
We've heard a couple of names in your neck of the woods with Kasperi Kapanen and Andreas Johnsson, of course, when he's healthy, being on the teams would be interested in. Maybe if Toronto wants to upgrade their roster, those guys could potentially move. Is there anything to that? Do you think there's still an opportunity there and maybe Toronto is trying to upgrade, or is that basically a non-starter at this point?
I don't think it's something the organization wants to do, but you know, I know it can't be ruled out in the same breath. And you know, I don't get any sense at all that they're shopping those players. I think that, you know, with Kapanen specifically, because he's such a, you know, a great skater, and you know, has some pretty high end tools, and is now signed, so it's a team would know, you know, what they're going to have to pay him for the next 3 years. You know, I think that there's some appeal to him, and I think that there's an argument to be made from the Leafs' end, because essentially the third liner on the Leafs, with the way their slotting works out, that you know, he might be used in a hockey trade to get a defenseman, because you know, I think that's still an area of weakness for Toronto and somewhere that they would like to upgrade. But you know, I just think that they're not probably going to go down that road unless, you know, maybe a player that I'm not anticipating at this point in time becomes available, and it's a deal that really opens their eyes. I think that you know, it's certainly not something from the Toronto end of the spectrum that they're looking to do. You know, I think that they extended both of those guys last July with the idea that they would be part of the secondary pieces of the core here for the next 3 or 4 years as they try to take a few swings at you know, making a run at the Stanley Cup. And so, you know, I don't think they give up those players easily, but if you dangle the right defenseman in front of them, it might be a deal that's too good to refuse. And so, you know, I don't think it's very likely their move, but you know, never say never, especially if you have an asset that fills the need for the Leafs.
Is Sheldon Keefe the only coach in the NHL that loves playing high-event hockey?
he's one of the few that will permit the negative sides of high-event hockey, which is that even if you have a very skilled team, even if you have a team that's winning a lot, which Toronto has, they've won 12 or 17 games under him, you know, they're still giving up some pretty ghastly chances over time. And I think, you know, where he might be different, at least than the vast majority of coaches at this level, is that he's willing and openly with the media and with his players to accept some of those deficiencies because he believes that the overall benefits are there for them. And you know, I don't know how this is going to go. I don't think anyone can say for sure whether this is a winning formula, whether this will blow up in their faces when the games matter. And certainly playoff hockey is not a time of year where we associate with a lot of goals, but the Leafs have kind of a belief that what they're doing will bring success. They believe they have the kind of skill where they can play this way and find that success. And at least in right now, they have a coach who's willing to buy into that and promote that. And, you know, it kind of makes them a fascinating thought experiment, because if you look at their last few games, you know, there was an 8-6 game right before Christmas, 6-5, I believe, in New Jersey. Anyway, tons of goals lately. It's almost like the 80s around the Leafs these days.
You're listening to Reach Deep. We're joined by Chris Johnston, or as we are every Monday. Chris, the Oilers have dropped 11 of the last 15, and we've seen them make moves to send some players down to the AHL. But with every year that passes and every month that passes, that it seems like the Oilers may or may not make the playoffs. It does create some worry for Oilers fans. How active do you think Ken Holland will be in the lead-up to the trade deadline, even in the coming weeks, based on where his team sits?
You know, I think that he's going to be more patient than probably most people would guess. And you know, if you think about how he stepped into this situation, he's still a newcomer there, you know, not even close to a full year on the job as of yet. And you know, it seems to me that his position is that, you know, the worst thing he could do right now is trade away future assets from a team that clearly has some deficiencies, you know, beyond having arguably the best player in the world and certainly another high-end star in Leon Draisaitl. And you know, there's other pieces on that roster, but, you know, I think there's far too many just replacement-level guys, even on their second line, but especially their third and fourth forward lines, some of their D, there's some holes there. And so, you know, I think that Ken Holland is going to take a bigger picture view of things than probably most of the fans and media and people around that team, because, you know, what they see is the one playoff, you know, run since 2006. And, you know, that's things for them. I think when you're somewhere new, like Ken Holland, I mean, he's dealing really only with the here and now. And so, you know, we saw him show some restraint in the Taylor Hall talks. I think Edmonton was one of the teams that had a fair level of interest, probably even a high level of interest. But once they had discussions with the Devils, you know, it became clear that the price being asked was just not something they were comfortable paying at this point in time. And I think you'll see Ken Holland become more aggressive as we get into the summertime when he's got 10 or 11, you know, unrestricted free agents. He's going to lose a lot of players from his roster. There's going to be a lot of turnover there. You know, I think for most of the season, he's maybe going to patch a hole here or there. They've brought up a couple guys from the AHL now. They're looking for some answers internally, but, you know, I think that there were still ways off seeing him really dive into the market, either through trades or potentially free agency this summer.
CJ, we always appreciate the time. Hope you're having a happy holiday and all the best in the new year. We'll talk next week.
All right, boys. Same to you.